like we always do about this time.
I was gonna rip his heart out, I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander, he's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston, I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Nairclaw. There's no one that can match me. My style is impetuous, my defense is impregnable, and I'm just ferocious. I want your heart, I wanna eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is up? What is up? What is up? Welcome to another edition of the Hawks Beat Podcast. I'm your host, E-Dub, and got a great show for you this evening. We're still recuperating from the draft, all of the post-draft excitement, and we're going to talk a little draft today. We're going to talk a little Hawks news. First and foremost, man, let me get rid of some of this housekeeping. If you would like to connect with us, we invite you to connect with us via our social media platforms. We are on Twitter, we are on Instagram. Our name is at Hawksbeat, and find us there, and that way you'll be kept abreast as to everything that we have going on. We're also on Facebook for the Facebookers, and of course you can assess our pretty much everything through our website, hawksbeat.com. You can find our podcast, our blog, our TV video, all our stuff is pretty much a one-stop shop there. So now that we get that out the way, let's go ahead and get it popping, guys. All right, so I have two guests that I'm going to get on, and I'm going to get them on shortly. We recorded an interview with them a little bit early. I'm going to introduce them in a few, but I want to get rid of some free agency talk and some summer league talk. So a lot of people have been, you know, asking me and talks about, you know, free agency. What are the Hawks going to do? And I don't know if most of you guys know this, man, but hey, come July 1st, man, the Hawks aren't going to be making no big major moves. You know, I don't really think that we're in the LeBron sweepstakes, the Kevin Durant sweepstakes, or any of those high-priced guys. Free agency for the Hawks is going to look a lot like this. Hopefully Travis, and Travis has been, you know, every time we talk about Travis Schlink, it's always about him gathering assets, and that's what he's going to be doing, man. When it comes to free agency, he's probably going to look to take on another bad contract, maybe one, maybe two, and gather some more assets, man. The Hawks are in a position where the Hawks are maybe one of maybe four, maybe five teams that have the ability to take on another team's bad contract. So, hey, Hawks can be like, look, man, it's only about four of us out here that can take on this contract. We'll take them, but you're going to have to come up off of some of these first rounders. So it would be nice to see the Hawks come away with another first rounder or another two first round picks for the next upcoming draft or the next upcoming two drafts, depending on how things work. But in regards to free agency, don't look for any big names to come here. There's really no incentive for this team to go out and try to win a whole bunch of ball games next season. So the 12 to 15 guys that they have, I mean, right now I think they have like 12 guys on the contract. They'll probably go into the season with 15, but you're going to see a lot of young guys. You're going to see a lot of G League guys like you did last year. And there's really no, you know, difference maker that I see really coming into Atlanta as far as free agency is concerned. The other bit of Hawks news is Summer League, man. Summer League is right around the corner. And when I mean right around the corner, I mean they're going to play on July 2nd. They are going to be in the Utah Summer League and the Las Vegas Summer League. And the Utah Summer League, which is up first, that is a small league. Well, I think it's like four teams. It's the Hawks, the Grizzlies, the Spurs, and the Utah Jazz. So day one, man, you're going to see the guys out there. I have to go back and see exactly who's on the roster, but I'm pretty sure all the rooks are going to be there on the Utah roster. I had that actually with me, but I don't have it on my person as of yet. So it's going to be your first time to see the young guys and see what they're able to do. And it should be pretty exciting. So their first game is July 2nd, 5 o'clock Mountain Time. So I don't really know what time Mountain is. Mountain Time is the Eastern Time. So game could be at 7 o'clock. Game could be at 2 o'clock. I'm not really sure. You just got to check your local listings. But should be exciting, man. And it's always fun to see the fans react and overreact to everything that happens in Summer League, man. But just enjoy it for what it is, man. And I will pray that these guys just go out and get better and don't get hurt. So, yeah, should be a fun time for all, man. Summer League. So I mentioned earlier that I'm going to have two people joining me on the podcast today. So if you've been following the Hawks, you've seen the Rooks around town. They've been at the Braves game, you know, having a good time. Trey Young throwing out the first pitch. I was downtown. I actually saw a billboard with Trey on it. So they're really starting to push that thing, man. I was at Hawks.com and I saw that they had a meet and greet with members of the Hawks organization this week, you know, some of the workers and this, that, and the other. So they've been making the rounds, man. But I wanted to bring on two guys who, guys that I trusted, guys that I find credible, and guys that I enjoy their opinions in regards to the Hawks. Phil Beasley and Kevin Chouinard. They do good work, man. They do good work in their outlets. And I wanted to get their opinions now that we're kind of, you know, a couple days, a couple weeks away from the draft. We've had time to kind of simmer down, let the emotions run their course. And, you know, I just wanted to get their opinions on it and just bring them onto the pod and, you know, just chop it up a little bit. So I'm going to run those interviews for you guys and let's get it popping. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back here at the Hawks Podcast. Got a special guest on with me this evening, Mr. Kevin Chouinard. Joining us from, he is a purveyor of the ATL and 29 podcast. He writes for NBA.com. He does work for ATLHawks.com. Now, Kevin, first of all, man, thanks for joining me. NBA.com and ATLHawks.com, like, are they under the same umbrella? How does that work?
I do like freelance, you know, I'm like a contractor and I write for Hawks. I call it Hawks.com, but I guess technically it's NBA.com/Hawks, the way that they set up the domain name. So okay. I guess it's all under that one umbrella.
Oh, okay.
But it's basically the web page that the Hawks have going.
Okay, well, I appreciate you coming on with me today, man. I've been seeing Kevin covering Hawks games for, this is going to be my fifth year, actually, covering the Hawks, and he's one of the guys. Was that?
Me too.
Okay, so we came in at the same time then.
Yep.
Okay, cool. Kevin's one of the people I trust when it comes down to Hawks opinions, and I know he's a part of Hawks Twitter, so it's always interesting to see the reactions and fan reactions when it comes down to the decisions for, you know, the Hawks regarding the Hawks. But, Kevin, man, I just want to talk to you real quick about the draft. Going into the draft, was there a guy that you kind of wanted kind of heads and shoulders before everything kicked off?
Not really. I think I was thinking that Doncic was a good pick, but I was leaning towards most of the playmakers over the bigs. So I was kind of thinking, you know, probably something like Doncic or Jaren Jackson Jr. or Trae Young. And so, you know, I thought that Jaren Jackson was the best big for what the Hawks do. But if not him, then somebody playing on the perimeter, and that's who they got, Trae Young.
Yeah, that's kind of similar to what I was thinking. I was kind of initially I was a Marvin Bagley guy, but then once I saw the tape, I thought that Jaren Jackson would be a great fit, you know, for this team. And when the trade went down with Trae Young and Luka Doncic, we kind of heard rumblings about it all day. What are your thoughts about the trade the move that Travis made to pick up Trae Young, you know, and at the 3 and 5 position.
I mean, it's a risk, but it's a smart risk. You know, the Hawks kind of doubled down on getting some picks for next year, so they could have up to 6 picks next year. And, you know, so trading Doncic for Young, it's a risk. But, you know, they're going to get another swing at it next year. And as Schlenk was saying, next year is a draft full of 6'6", 6'7", 6'8" guys who can, you know, do a lot of different things out on the wing. So there's some versatility coming up, even if it's not the deepest draft. You know, they might be able to bolster the wing, which seems to be the one thing that everybody's searching for out of the draft.
Yeah, and I was actually, you know, tweeting out the other day that, you know, this Hawks team was at a deficit. I mean, you were there last season. before you would get down to your seat, this team would be down by 20 last year. And this team was at a deficit with so many things. You know, they were at a deficit defensively. They were at a deficit scoring the ball, depth. I mean, so it was like there was so much needed. And Travis was like, you know what? I'm pretty much just going to – let's focus on offense and shooting this year. And that was obviously what he did. Your thoughts on Kevin Huerter, the 19. He was actually a guy I liked in the middle of this draft, that position for the value. What are your thoughts on Kevin Huerter?
I mean, I'm not a college basketball expert, but you know, I'm a big fan in the NBA of the guys who do what J.J. Redick and Klay Thompson and Bradley Beal do, you know, just the amount of pressure that they put on a defense without ever even touching the ball. I think that's something that actually gets undervalued a lot in the game. There are a lot of people who impact the game when they have the ball in their hands, but, you know, even, you know, it's something that Steph Curry does too when he doesn't have the ball, but you know, it's just that pressure that you can put on a defense without even having the ball, just kind of making people chase you away on the other half of the court. That's just something that's really invaluable. And so I can see why they want him to be that, because that's just something that's so good. I don't know if he can do it or not, but I like the thinking. But he's got good size and he's got a good shot. You know, he's going to have to prove some things defensively. You know, just get stronger, just like a lot of these kids do, because, you know, when you're 20, it's hard to be out there fighting with grown men. But I think it's a risk, but it's a smart risk. That's all you can do. There aren't really too many sure things. Ayton's probably the surest thing, maybe Doncic, but, you know, with a lot of people in this draft, it's trying to make that calculated risk that you think is a good one, and Huerter probably is that.
Yeah, we spoke with Coach Lloyd at the rookies press conference, and that was he somewhat alluded to that. You know, he was saying, "Look, man, all of these guys coming out have deficiencies. You know, they're all young, they all have, you know, defensive lapses. I mean, there's nobody complete that comes out the game out of college anymore." And he kind of alluded to that. We got a chance to speak with, you know, Coach during the rookie presser, and just like me, you spoke with Trae Young's dad a lot. You wrote a good article on his dad and the relationship they had. Talk about your overall opinion of, you know, spending some time with Trae Young's dad and you know, the kind of development that he's had over the years.
Yeah, when Trae Young came in for his workout, Coach Pierce guarded him in that workout because it was essentially a one-on-one workout, and so I don't know what kind of approval you have to get from the agent or what, but he was out there on the floor guarding him, so it was a little bit more like a one-on-one workout for at least some part of the drill. And what Pierce said about it was that he wanted to create some physical contact with him, because he said that, you know, Trae Young's obviously, you know, young and not huge. You know, what any NBA veteran that's going to be guarding him going to try to do, they're going to try to be really physical with him. So Coach Pierce said that in that workout, you know, when they that did certain drills. He was just trying to, you know, be physical and see how he would react. And what he said about that was that when he did that, Trae Young showed a lot of agility and he could shift away from it, is basically what Pierce said. As soon as he tried to leverage him one way, Young was pivoting and using it against him, really, and just using his agility to shift out of any physical contact. And he said that that was something that you know, kind of proved that he was draftable. And it kind of echoed a little bit what Trae Young's dad, Ray, said about Trae. He said that when Trae was 12, 13 years old, somewhere around 7th grade, he was a really good shooter. But he didn't think that Trae could get a Division I scholarship unless he could, you know, be a point guard, handle the ball, distribute the ball, and get better at those sort of things. And he said that, you know, he kind of challenged Trae because he knew Trae had big basketball dreams. And he said, you know, son, if you really want to do this, this is what you're going to have to do. And he set out doing the drill work and the physical training to get better at those things. And I think it paid off in that workout with Coach Pierce, and hopefully it'll pay off in his rookie season.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, just one more before I let you go. I was talking with Trae's dad and, Amari Spellman. Like, okay, I'll be honest with you. Like, I didn't know much about Amari Spellman. And when they drafted him at 30, I was like, who? And I kind of had to go back and watch tape because I really didn't know much about him. I did a lot of watching draft videos late at night, you know, because the draft, watching draft videos will take you kind of into a rabbit hole sometimes. How'd you feel about the Amari Spellman pick? I think he's going to be good for Atlanta. I think he's going to fit in here. Seems like a hard worker, you know. But, you know, were you kind of like me? You didn't really know much about him. What was your thoughts on the Spellman pick?
Yeah, I didn't really know too much about him, but I think, you know, you look at the draft and at the top of the draft in the lottery, it's a lot of 19-year-olds, and then some of the older guys that have been in college for a little bit, or, you know, took a redshirt year, or, you know, played 2, 3, maybe 4 years in college, those guys tend to go later in the draft. Spellman's kind of one of those guys, and I think one of the things that teams worry about when they pick a 20, you know, maybe older 20, if we differentiate a little bit, older 20, 21, 22-year-old, one of the things they worry about is that those kids are more of a finished product. It's almost scarier that they've added some polish, because if, you know, I don't know if there's the same amount of growth opportunity as there is for some of these 19-year-olds. Spellman's a little bit older. I think maybe what the Hawks see in terms of growth, instead of maybe in age, is in conditioning, because he's a really good player at Villanova.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he showed a lot of competitiveness. He showed he can shoot. He's got a 7'2 wingspan. So there's a lot of toolkit there to work with. And I think maybe the Hawks are gambling a little bit that as he gets a little bit older, that's some of his size is going to turn into muscle size instead of, you know, I can't think of a better phrase for baby fat, but, you know, he's just a young kid who's big.
Yeah.
And it, you know, as he gets older, if he turns some of that into muscle, you know, he's got a good set of skills to work with. So I think they're gambling on him, you know, continuing to transform his body. He did some of that at Villanova. And I think they're thinking that maybe he's 60% of the way there. And after another 40% of transforming his body, he's really going to look more like an NBA player than he does right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Is there going to be a more interesting saga than the Dennis Schroeder saga as we begin the season?
Yeah, it's interesting. The point guard is so deep around the NBA. You try to figure out what teams need a point guard. And maybe Orlando, they don't seem to have a ton of point guards, and they've got a lot of young talent in other places. You know, maybe Phoenix. Dennis himself, when he was in Germany, mentioned Milwaukee and Indiana. Milwaukee would be interesting, of course, because that would put him back with Mike Budenholzer.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it's something where you have to trade him. I wouldn't expect Travis to attach any huge asset to getting rid of him, because, you know, it's a rebuilding process and there's no gigantic hurry to get rid of Dennis. I mean, Dennis is Dennis. He's he's headstrong in a good way, maybe a bad way too. He's just really confident, kind of a self-made person, and he has the confidence to go with that. So, you know, he's he's Dennis. So,
for better or for worse,
I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing in terms of the season, because he recognizes, you know, what Jeff Teague did for him, and you know, now it's his turn to be the veteran. I don't think he's going to be any kind of, you know, trouble spot. You know, he'll just be out there doing what he does. And so if he plays 32 minutes a game and Trae Young plays 25 minutes a game, you stagger their minutes, they play a little bit together. If it's not the greatest basketball product when they're out on the court together, that's not a titanic loss, just as long as the kids are learning along the way.
Yeah. I spoke with Sean Powell about that. He said pretty much the exact same thing. You know, the building isn't on fire. So, you know, I think it'll be fun. But I tell you, as somebody that covers the Hawks, man, it's certainly going to be fun to watch.
I wonder if maybe Cleveland makes sense for him. Just because,
you know, they got the Sexton kid.
He can play almost two ways, whether LeBron stays or whether he doesn't. But almost in either scenario, he kind of makes sense. Let's just do the one where LeBron stays. Like, okay, LeBron stays. They're kind of a favorite in the East. They need, you know, players who can score against Golden State. Well, that's right in Dennis's wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Because to counter a switching defense like the Warriors, you need somebody who can score one-on-one in those situations, and Dennis has always had very, very good games against the Warriors, and it kind of makes sense to trade with Cleveland, just because Cleveland has so much bloated salary. They have so many bad contracts.
Exactly.
So you trade Dennis to Cleveland, you take back, I don't have a salary sheet in front of me, but you take back one of those bad salaries from Cleveland that's a year shorter than Dennis's, and you've got the rough makings of a pretty good trade there. So it's you might want to add Cleveland to that list too. I don't know how that would work with LeBron, but I mean, you look at the players that are on Cleveland right now, I don't think Dennis is a whole lot worse. I think you'd make them a lot better.
Yeah, I agree. And I think I saw something about that on Twitter the other day. I was like, wow, that might not be a bad fit, but I don't know, man. We will see. Let my people know where they can find you and everything that you're into and the podcast, and go ahead and plug all the areas where you're at.
Let me just give the ATL on 29 podcast Twitter handle. Anything about that podcast you can find there. It's just @ATLAND29. That's the Twitter handle for that one. It's on iTunes and Stitcher and SoundCloud. But anything that's meaningful will get tweeted out from that account.
Gotcha, man. Gotcha. All right, my man. Well, I appreciate the time. Appreciate your insight, man. And I'm sure we'll be seeing each other soon. Got Summer League coming up, man. And again, appreciate your time, my brother.
Yep. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
All right, Kevin. Thanks a lot, man. We'll see you.
All right. Have a good one.
That was my man, Kevin Chouinard. Very interesting talk, man. I said only wanting to give him 10 minutes, but we kind of went over. But he always has such good insight, so I decided to let it run, man. If the podcast runs long, maybe we'll do a two-part thing. But always good insight, man. Make sure you check out his podcast, ATL and 29. Follow him on Twitter. He is at KL Chouinard. That is KLCHOUINARD. So appreciate it, Kevin. All right, folks, here with me, I have a special guest, but he's not new to the Hawks Beat podcast. He's been on the podcast about one or two times before. Mr. Phil Veasley, man, he is the purveyor. He is the CEO, the founder, the writer of ATL Sports HQ. You can find him on Twitter. His Twitter handle is @_ATL Phil. Used to go by ATL Hawks Phil, I think, back in the day. Phil, man, appreciate you for joining us, man.
Oh, yeah, definitely a pleasure to be on.
Hey, man, I said I wanted to get people who have good opinions of the Hawks and people that I trust and people that, you know, just people that aren't crazy. Being a part of Hawks Twitter is it can be sometimes very entertaining, sometimes very nauseating. But Phil and the guys over at ATL Sports HQ, they do a good job over there. Make sure you check out their website. Phil, man, first of all, take me through the first 24 hours, because I know you weren't a fan of the movement in the beginning of the draft. So take me through the 24 hours once you had time to calm down, once you had time to realize what had happened.
Yeah, you know, initially I absolutely hated it. I hated the trade. I wasn't a big Trae Young fan all year, really. I never understood why people were ready to just give up on Dennis Schroeder already. You know, 24-year-old, yes, he's had his bump, but it didn't make sense to me to go draft at a position where we already have a decent player. So, you know, all along, Luka had been my guy the whole year. You know, Luka was my guy. I had my eye on him since last year. And then when we got the number 3 pick in the lottery, I was like, yeah, we definitely need to focus in on Luka or Bagley. You know, Trae Young was really near about, it was probably down about 9 or 10 on my board. I didn't see it. Yes, the numbers are amazing. You can't deny the numbers, but it just, I don't know, something about him, it just didn't look like it would translate to the NBA level. But then after hearing all the great things out of his workout, I kind of knew it was going to happen. I wanted to deny it, but I knew, we all knew the Hawks were going to do this. So, on paper, after sitting down and taking it all in, letting some time go by, it's actually a pretty good trade. You know, you go back only 2 spots, and then we could have up to the 6th pick next year. So if everything goes perfectly, we can, because we're going to be probably worse than this year next year. So hopefully we can get the 1st or 2nd pick. Hopefully Dallas isn't too good or too bad, but I think they're going to be better than this year. So hopefully they're around 6 or 7. And then if LeBron leaves, I think they might make some scapegoat moves to try to remain competitive, and hopefully they can end up around 11 to 14 and give us 3 lottery picks next year. So that would be ideal. But Trae, ever since he's been here, he's saying all the right things. He looks like he's been in the gym. He's handling the media well. So he definitely seems like he has a good head on him. Mm-hmm. He seems like he's ready to work and ready to work hard. And so we'll see next week in Summer League. But also, people need to be patient and not get too high or low on the Summer League, because it's pretty much a glorified college scrimmage at the end of the day. And I like the picks of Herder and Spellman, too. I think people need to slow down with the comparisons, though. These guys are not going to come in here and be Clay and Draymond. That's just setting them up for failure. Fans have to understand that.
Please stop that. If you're listening to this podcast and you just please stop with the comparisons. Let them be their own guys, man. Right. And I'm totally with you on that one.
We're talking about players who were drafted toward the end of the first round. There's no guarantee that these guys will even be rotation players 5 years from now. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's players who end up not even breaking the rotation their rookie year or period who are drafted at these positions. And don't compare them to John Collins getting drafted at 19 either. John Collins was a great pick. So everyone just needs to be patient. We hope that'll work out. And they both have talent, and they both have what it takes to work out. But everyone just has to be patient. One other thing I wanted to touch on, though. I know it was initially, there was some confusion in the trade that Bazemore was also included in the draft day trade. Mm-hmm. I really hope that this summer we don't lose Baze. I mean, the contract isn't horrible.
It's not.
But what he brings off the court and in the locker room to these young guys is unmatched. If you watched any of the games toward the end of the season this year, you could really see his leadership just growing. So I really think Baze needs to stick around. We need him here with all these young guys the next 2 years.
Yeah, I'm a big Baze guy too. I think that he was the only Hawk that I saw there when they introduced the rookies. Baze, you know, just working the room, going to support the young guys. He introduced himself to the families, and I mean, he's their leader. Like, you ask, like, where's the leadership coming from the Hawks organization? Like, he's their leader. He is that guy, like, unequivocally. Like, it's him, and there's not even, like, a close second, you know? And right. The money, like, he's making 15. Like, there's tons of guys making so much more money that I'm cool with Baze. Like, I understand, like, he's not a Travis guy. Travis didn't bring him in, so Travis really has no loyalty to him. But I really hope that they're able to keep Baze around, man, because he's nothing but an asset to this organization, man. I really like Baze, and I hope he sticks around.
And at the end of the day, we have to pay somebody. There is a salary floor in the NBA, too.
Yeah.
We can't just give away people. A lot of people don't understand that there really is a salary floor. You have to be, I think this year it's going to be about $84 million, I think.
Yeah.
I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah, and the thing about it, man, and the funny thing is, you know, and you and I both interact with a lot of Hawks fans, and you have to get to a point where you just have to take everything that's said with, like, a grain of salt, because you're like, what are you talking about? You know, there's some people that whatever move the Hawks make is never the good move. So it's like, okay, like, just because you're criticizing every single Hawks move, like, this doesn't, you know, give you credibility. Like, no, just let this thing take its course. I personally would have loved to have Doncic there. I'm more of a defensive guy. I would have liked to have Jaren Jackson, one of those guys, because of the defensive effort that I saw last season. I was like, man, I don't know if I could sit through another season of such terrible defense. But Travis was like, hey, man, I want to address the offense. You know, I mean, Travis knows his team has a defensive lapse. I mean, he's going to get to it. Like, he understands what's going on. Like, he gets paid lots of money to do what he does, man. So, I think the key word is patience, man. The key word is patience.
Yeah, definitely. Patience this year. And I think next summer we could probably make some moves. I really think so.
Yeah. I have already peaked at the draft prospects for 2019. When you're rebuilding, I guess you do that sometimes. You know, after studying the draft for about a month and looking at draft tape, you kind of look for, well, let's see who might be coming out next year. So we're definitely gonna have plenty of time to talk about that, man. But yeah, man. Phil, go ahead and tell the folks where they can find you. Tell them a little bit about ATL Sports HQ and all that jazz, man.
Yeah, definitely follow our Hawks affiliate page at ATL Hawks_talk, and then definitely check out our website, ATLSportsHQ.com, and we will be starting up our podcast again momentarily.
Okay. And where can they find you out on Twitter?
At ATL Sports HQ, and then my personal Twitter at _ATL Phil.
Definitely, man. Well, I appreciate you for coming on real quick and lending your expertise. And we'll definitely chat again, man. You know how we do.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
No problem, man. Appreciate it. That was Phil Veasley with ATL Sports HQ, man. Always has good opinions on the Hawks. They do good work over there, man. So make sure you give him a follow. Make sure you give ATL Sports HQ a follow as well. Appreciate it, Phil. All right, so again, man, special thanks to my guests, Kevin Chouinard and Phil Veasley, for joining us on the podcast, man. We definitely got to get them both on again. Thank you for checking us out. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast via iTunes, Stitcher, or Podomatic. And I think that's it, man. So as always, peace and love, man. We'll see you when we see you.